received him, to them gave you power to be called the sons of God, to them that believe on his name. All right? It's good to be a child of God. It's even better to know that we're a child of God. A lot of folks don't seem to have that assurance. Are you saved? Well, I hope so. Well, I did something one time in my life, and I'm holding that's good enough. No assurance. The illustration we always give is if I walked up to some fella and said, "Are you married?" And he said, "Well, I hope so. I think so. I want to be." That would not be a sufficient answer to his wife. All right, when you're married, you say, "Yeah, are you married?" "Yes, I'm married." If you're married and don't know you're married, something's wrong somewhere down the line. I don't know which way that goes, but there's a problem there somewhere. And the same thing is true of being born again. I mean, being born again is likened unto the first birth. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. When you're born spiritually, the illustration is given is like when you're born physically. It's an act that happens. There's something that transpires. And if I were to ask you, were you ever born physically? And you said, "I don't know." Where is it Teresa works? Cambridge Behavioral Health. I think that's where you belong. If I said, "Were you ever born?" And you say, "I'm not sure I was ever born." If you're alive and living and breathing and walking around, I've got news for you. There was a time you were born. And yet folks will not know if they're born again. And so what we're looking at this evening is the fact that the Scriptures, here's what it is, the Scriptures are perfectly clear. There's no problem with the Bible. The Scriptures are perfectly clear that once you have trusted Christ as Savior, nothing can separate you from the love of God. Once you've been saved, nothing can separate you from the love of God. When I was born, October 20th, 1956, I became a child of Steve and Betty Leafley. Nothing I ever did from that point on, sometimes they were proud of me, sometimes not so much. Nothing I ever did changed the status that I was their son. Now, there are times that I embarrassed them, there are times I brought shame to them, but it never changed my status as a son. The same thing is true of us once we trust Christ, once we're born again. We don't always make our Father proud. We fail Him. We disappoint Him sometimes. And sometimes He has to chasten us. Sometimes He has to correct us. Sometimes He has to rebuke us. But that's just a sign that we are His child. Because He doesn't rebuke those that don't belong to Him. So when those rebukes of God and the correction of God comes along, we ought to say, "Praise the Lord." That's just a sign that we know that we're saved. So the Scriptures are perfectly clear that once you've trusted Christ as Savior, nothing can separate you. Look in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come." That's a pretty good list right there. "Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." The Bible is very clear, the Scriptures are clear, that once you've trusted Christ as Savior, you don't untrust Him. Once you've been born again, you're never unborn again. Once you get saved, you're never dissaved. Once you're adopted into the family of God by faith in Jesus Christ, you're never kicked out of the family. The Bible is very clear. Now, there are some verses, when taken out of their context, that can seem to teach that you can lose your salvation. And we're not going to go into those verses tonight, but let me just tell you this. When somebody gives you a verse that seems to contradict eternal security, and the verses we're going to look at tonight, when someone gives you something that contradicts that, it'll be out of the Gospels, it'll be out of Hebrews, it'll be out of Jude, and what they're doing is taking verses out of their context and applying them to you and I. Their problem is they don't study to show themselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. They take what was said to the Jew in the Old Testament or to the nation of Israel in the Gospels or to the nation of Israel in Hebrews or Jude and they apply it to people in the church age today, and you just can't do that. So the Scriptures are clear for you and I. that there is no way we can lose our salvation. And we'll talk about why folks don't want to believe that. All right? Our next line here on the notes. The phrase often used to describe eternal security, this is the common phrase, is once saved, always saved. You've heard that before. Once saved, always saved. Can I tell you this? That is a biblical, scriptural, doctrinal truth. All right? It's put into everyday jargon, but it is the truth. Once saved, always saved. Now, the problem is, you've got to be once saved. Once saved. Once saved, always saved. But if you're not saved, then you're not always saved. People say, well, I know somebody that says he's saved and he does this or that. Well, that's between him and God, whether he's really saved. But if he is saved, he can do just about anything. I mean, have you ever lied since you've been saved? Have you ever done anything dishonest since you've been saved? Other than John Morton, anybody else? I mean, he shook his head no. All right? We all have done those things. Now you say, well, how big does it have to be? And see, now you're getting into this contest that you can't win. What if a person does this and what if a person does that? The biblical truth is still the same, that if we've trusted Christ as Savior, nothing can separate us from that eternal life. Now somebody says, well, this guy says he's saved and he did that. I can't answer that. I can tell you the Bible says that if you've trusted Christ as Savior, you're always eternally saved. Well, what about, and they just want to throw out the wildest things out there. But the doctrine of truth is once you're saved, you are always saved. Now, I don't particularly like the phrase eternal security because it's not a biblical phrase. Now, I agree with it, but most of the time, you know what phrase I'll use? The phrase often used, or the scriptural phrases used to describe eternal security are eternal life and everlasting life. And you can't get away from those. People might say, do you believe once saved, always saved? I just say this. I believe in eternal life. I believe in everlasting life. Look at John chapter 3. John chapter 3. We'll start in verse 15. John chapter 3 and verse 15. Begin in verse 14 just for the reading. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man, that's Jesus Christ, be lifted up on the cross, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have what? Eternal life. There's the biblical phrase that when you believe on Jesus Christ, you get eternal life. You know what eternal means? It means never ending. 41 years ago, I believed on the Lord as my Savior, and He gave me eternal life. If that life has disappeared in the past 41 years, then it wasn't eternal. The Bible said in John 3:15, should not perish but have eternal life. That phrase, eternal life, is in the Bible 26 times. Now, we're not going to go through all those references, obviously. But the phrase, eternal life, is in the Bible 26 times. It's not temporary life. It's not, and here's what I always tell folks, it's not probationary life. Well, I'm going to trust Christ as my Savior, and I hope I can live it. I'll tell you right off the bat, you can't. The reason He died on the cross for you to get eternal life is because you couldn't live it to get it. You're not going to be able to live it to keep it. If it was up to you to get it, you wouldn't have it. If it was up to you to keep it, you wouldn't be able to keep it. It's not about us. It's all about Him. And folks say, well, I don't believe in once saved, always saved. Well, that's a free world. You believe everything you want to. But I believe in eternal life. And that once it was given to you, if it's eternal, it's not going to disappear. It's going to be there forever. It's not, well, here I give to them eternal life, and they shall never perish unless they do something that I told them not to do. Then I revoke my eternal life. Then it wasn't eternal. The phrase eternal means it's everlasting, or eternal. And the second word is everlasting. That phrase is used 11 times in the Bible, everlasting life. There in John chapter 3, you know verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, I'm not an English teacher, but I think everlasting means lasting forever. And again, the same as eternal. There's no end to it. I received eternal life, everlasting life, the day I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. And it's with me. It's stuck to me. It's going to be here forever. I couldn't get out of it if I wanted to. Why would I ever want to? But I couldn't get out of it if I wanted to. It's eternal or everlasting life. I feel sorry for folks that believe they trusted Christ for Savior and got probationary life. That he saved them, conditioned on their behavior from that point afterward. You'd never have any peace that way. You'd never have any assurance of salvation that way. But it's eternal life and everlasting life. When we trusted Christ, and there it is, when we trusted Christ to save us, we received at that time eternal or everlasting life, that is, never-ending life, not temporary or probationary life. Those phrases don't appear in the Bible. It's eternal life, it's everlasting life. If it was conditional, then it'd say, I give to them conditional life. If it's based on us keeping it after we get it. But he gives it to us free. All right, here's our outline this evening. There are three things that you can count on to keep you saved. What you trust to keep you saved is the same thing you trusted to save you in the first place. If you trusted yourself to save you, you don't have eternal life anyways. So it's no wonder you don't have assurance. But if you trusted something that you knew could save you and trust that to keep you saved, then you have assurance of salvation. So there are three things that you can count on to keep you saved. Number one, the person of God. Number one, the person of God. Some don't have confidence or assurance of salvation simply because they're trusting in themselves to keep themselves safe. And I don't care who the best one in this auditorium is tonight. If you're trusting yourself to keep you saved and go to heaven, you're never going to make it because you cannot meet God's holy standard. Men want to think that God's not as holy as he is. Well, God will overlook this and overlook that. By the time they're done, they can get away with just about anything because they think God's going to overlook it. No, God is holy. God is pure. God is righteous. And one small infraction on our part is a glaring infraction in the eyes of God. When you've got pure holiness and pure bright light, one speck of dirt shows up on that. And so there's none of us that have that good enough. If it were up to you to save yourself, you couldn't do it. Likewise, if it were up to you to keep your salvation, you couldn't do it. It is God who keeps you saved. It is God that keeps you saved. If you're saved here tonight, you can be thankful that it's not you that has to keep yourself saved. I'm here to tell you, I'm thankful you're not dependent on the preacher to keep you saved. The church can't keep you saved. The only person that can save, that keep you saved is the one that saved you, and that's God. And so folks that are worrying about their salvation, trusted but not sure they're still saved and think they can lose it, are ones that have taken their eyes off God and are looking at themselves. Well, sure, if I look at myself, I'd question my salvation all the time. But I'm not. I'm looking at God who saved me and said he could keep me saved. These verses, and I'm in a dilemma here because I hate for you to just have them on the piece of paper and not turn to them, but if we turn to all of them, we'll never have the time tonight to do that. So I encourage you to look these verses up. And again, I've left the blanks there so that you can use this. You know, get a blank copy after you fill yours in tonight and use it with somebody that has trouble with the assurance of their salvation. But 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, let me give you what the verse says. You got most of it there. It says, Paul said, I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that, here's the word, he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. That's the key word in that verse as far as eternal life is concerned. I know who I have believed and persuaded that he, who, the one I believed in, he who I believed on, he is able to keep that which I committed unto him. Here's what a lot of folks are doing. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that I might be able to keep that which I committed unto him against that day. See what they've done? They've taken God out and put themselves in. And you'll never have the assurance of salvation doing that. But when you're dependent on the God that saved you to be the God that keeps you saved, there's no problem with that. He's got the power to do that. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able. Not I am able, he is able. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Kept by the power of God. It's not you that keeps you saved. It's God that keeps you saved. Dr. Sam Gipp, I remember hearing his testimony 200 years ago, it seems like. It couldn't have been that long, but he said it simply this way. When I got saved, I realized what a mess I'd made out of my life. And I realized that if God gave me a new life and I lived that one, I'd mess it up too. So I told God that I was trusting him to keep the life that he had given me. Now that's the truth of salvation. Once you got saved, your sins were forgiven. You're born again to the family of God. If it's up to you now to straighten out from that point on, you're going to lose it in a heartbeat. You're going to mess the whole thing up. God would be entrusting to you and I something that we would make a mess of in a heartbeat. So it's not we ourselves, but we're kept by the power of God. The Bible says, and I don't think we're getting it, we are sealed to the day of redemption. That's in Ephesians. We're sealed to the day of redemption. You know what? My wife was spent all morning canning today. I could tell because when I walked in the house, it stunk. What were you canning? Yeah. Stuffed peppers and sweet chili. Sweet. Whatever she just said, all right? Now, if you like that stuff, that's probably a sweet aroma to you when you walk in the house. But for some of us, it's like, what died? But she put that in that jar, and she sealed it, and that seal's going to keep until that seal's broken. You folks sealed jam, sealed green beans, and all that kind of, you put it down in the pantry, you put it in the storehouse, whatever it is, and it could stay there 5, 6, 7, 8 years. It'll be good and fresh the day you unseal it. When you and I got saved, we were sealed till the day of redemption. And as far as God's concerned, what's inside of us is preserved until the Lord comes back and claims us for himself. So we don't have to worry. We're kept by the power of God. Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He, that's talking about God, he that hath begun a good work in you. The day you got saved, God began a good work. That doesn't mean you're beginning to be saved. It means the day he got you, now he can do something with you. And it won't always be perfect because you'll mess up. But he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it. We're kept saved by the person of God. If someone says, I think I can lose my salvation, that really is an affront to God. That's telling God, I don't think you have the power to keep me saved. I think I have more power, God, than you do, because I could do something and lose my salvation. You couldn't keep me saved. It doesn't work that way. Three things you can count on to keep you saved. Number one, the person of God. Number two, the promises of God. What is it that keeps us saved? The promises of God. The truth of our eternal security is not based on wishful thinking. Don't we all, wish we're going to heaven when we die. I was reading, I think it's the Sword of the Lord that's out there, the new one's out there, and fellas saying about, you know, who was this? Something I read here recently, when I was studying. A lady came in, was speaking to nurses and talking about the life after death and the death experience, and when she was talking, she said that every one of the people that she saw have that afterlife experience all saw a bright light and a glowing light and something. Everything was positive. Nobody ever saw anything negative. And we would all wish that we could see something positive at the end. That's wishful thinking. You hardly ever go to a funeral and somebody gets up there and says, that rascal died and went to hell. We don't want to say things like that. So we put everybody, preachers put everybody in heaven. And that's not the truth. That's not the reality. All right? The promise is God. It's not based on wishful thinking or human reasoning, but on the promises of God in Scripture. Someone comes to me and say, "You go." I've said that. I remember working down at Famous Supply all those years, and so a guy come up and say, "What do you know for sure?" I thought, "Wow, what a line." He said, "What do you know for sure?" I said, "I know I'm going to heaven when I die. How could I pass up on that one? I know I'm going to heaven when I die." "Oh, you can't know that. Oh, you think you're better than everybody else? I mean, human reasoning." No, I'm not doing it. I'm doing it on the promises of the Word of God. "He that believeth in me, I will in no wise cast out." All right, we've got His promises. John 3:16. We read it already. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him," here's our phrase, "should not perish." And don't be thrown off by that word "should." It's not like you should, but you shouldn't, or you should, but you could. No, "you should not perish" is a definitive statement. That if you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So we've got the combination of the promise and the gift of everlasting life. The second verse, John 10:28. And I want you to turn to this one because we've just written verse 28, but I want you to see the context. John chapter 10. This is probably the key verse on eternal security in all the Bible. The most definitive one. John chapter 10 and verse 27, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Now, what are the sheep? Well, verse 26, "But ye believe not, because you're not of my sheep." So those that believed were His sheep. If you just look at verse 26, "Ye believe not, because you're not of my sheep." Well, the opposite is means if they believe, they are sheep. And He says in verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life." I give unto them eternal life. When was He talking about? He was talking about when they were alive right then. He's talking about those that were believing and those that were not believing. And I give to them right now in their life, I give to them eternal life. It's not something you get after you die. It's something you get when you believe in this life. "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my hand." You're in good hands with Allstate. Remember the commercial, the two hands like that? When we get saved, we're put in the hand of God. We're put in the hand of God that's closed over us, and nobody can get us out of the hand of God. I don't care if it's a WWE wrestler. He's not going to open up the paw of God. And it says, "No man shall be able to pluck thee out of my hand." Now somebody says, "Well, what about the devil?" You know, they always got to have that. But what about the devil? Well, you go back to Isaiah 14. You know what the devil's called? A man. "Thou art a man and no God." That's what the Lord said to the devil. So he's included in that. Not even the devil himself can get you out of God's hand once you're put there. So the whole thing is, get in the hand of God. Believe. That's all it takes to do that is believe. And when you do that, they shall never perish. You can't get any stronger than that. 1 John 5:13. That's not the Gospel of John, but the first epistle of John back at the end. Verse 13 says this, "These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God." That's what you did when you got saved. Acts 16:31, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." The day you believed, you got saved. "These things have I written to you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may," here's the rest of the line, "know that ye have eternal life." That ye may know that ye have eternal life. When I am helping somebody put their faith in Christ, and they bow their head and they pray the prayer, I ask them this, "Did you mean that?" Because let's be honest, a lot of folks will pray that prayer to get rid of you, to get you off of their back. So I always ask them, when you just said Lord, come into my heart, forgive my sins, save my soul. Did you mean that? If they say, yes, I did, then I take them to 1 John 5:13. I said, now I want you to look at this verse. These things have been written to you that believe on the name of the Son of God. Did you just believe on the name of the Son of God? Yes, I did. All right, what does the verse say? That you may know that you have eternal life. So what do you have right now by believing in Jesus? I have eternal life. All right? The promises of God. Right now, you and I that are saved, right now, we possess eternal life. It doesn't get any better than that. Three things that you count on to keep you saved. Number one, the person of God. Number two, the promises of God. And thirdly and lastly, the presence of God. The presence of God. And we've said this already. When you get saved, when you got saved, you were born again as a child of God. You were born again as a child of God. That act cannot be reversed. What did Nicodemus say to the Lord? Jesus said, you must be born again. Nicodemus said, what? Can I enter the second time into my mother's womb and be born? Human reasoning. He couldn't understand spiritual birth. But just as a man is born physically from the womb of his mother, so the Bible says, once we're born of God, you can't be unborn of God. You can't crawl back into the womb. The night we went and saw Benjamin Noah Leafley, 10 days ago, went up to the hospital in Orville, and he was 1 hour old when we got up there. And I looked at that guy, 8.5 pounds. That's bigger than a bag of sugar. 8.5 pounds, 22 inches long. You look at that thing, and it's just amazing. That was inside of my daughter-in-law. All you ladies that have had babies and husbands that have seen it. That thing just a few minutes ago was inside of her. And we said it before, you know, when he's inside there, it's nice and dark. All the sounds are muffled. All he's hearing is the mother's heartbeat, pum pum, pum pum, pum pum, pum pum. And again, they tell us that the reason they say mama, dada, goo goo, ba ba, is that's what they've heard for 9 months. Pum pum, pum pum, pum pum. The heartbeat's all they've heard. Quiet, dark, perfect temperature. And then all of a sudden, here they come through that birth canal, and that head gets squeezed down. I don't want to gross you out here, but that head gets squeezed down to get through that birth canal, and they come out to these bright lights and these screaming people and this cold room. I mean, in that hospital room that they were in that night, it was freezing cold in there. And the baby comes out. It's no wonder they scream the minute they come out. No wonder they cry. They just, I want to go back in there. I want to get back where it was warm and dark and the sounds were muffled. What am I doing out here? But you can't go back in. And you really wouldn't want to go back in. And mom sure wouldn't want you back in. And the same thing is true when we're born again. You don't want to go back. You don't want to reverse it. And thank God you can't reverse it. Once you're born of God, you're delivered into the world. You're a child of God. There's no way to back that thing up. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. Galatians 3:26. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Ye are all the children of God by faith. The day you put your faith in Christ, you were delivered. You were born as a child of God. And you're not getting stuffed back in. You're not reversing the process. You can't do it. Ephesians chapter 1, I guess the verse is on here. That memory thing is going. Ephesians 1:13, and home also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So not only are you in God's hand, but then He saran wraps the whole thing. He seals you in God's hand. You're not getting out. Now, why would we want to, number one? But number two, even we can't accidentally fall through the cracks because we're in His hand and it's sealed by the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, of promise. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? See, here's the problem. The day you got saved, according to 1 Corinthians 12:13, The day you got saved, you were baptized in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost came down and immersed you, and you are in Christ, and Christ is in you. And so now you've been put into His body, and He is living inside of you. If you could lose your salvation, can you imagine what a science fiction movie that would be? I'm saved. The Spirit of God's in me. I mess up tomorrow. God yanks it out of me. I'm not saved. The Spirit of God's not in me. That I don't know what you do. Get re-saved, re-baptized, whatever. You do it again. If you could do it that way, then the Holy Spirit gets put back in you. Then if you don't hold out very good, He comes and rips them back out of you. That doesn't sound like Bible doctrine to me. You can't be saved and lose it and get saved again and lose it again and get saved. That's not the God of the Bible. The Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Conclusion. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are placed in Christ. We're bone of His bones. We're body of His body. We're members. We were put in Christ. What a sad thing to think that you could be put in Christ and then get out of Christ and then back in Christ and back out of Christ. It's not like getting in and out of your car. Once you're in Christ, you're in. Not only that, but the Bible says that Christ was placed in you. Colossians 1:27. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So you and I are in Christ the day we got saved. We were put in Christ, and Christ was put in us. That makes it, here's our word, impossible to lose our salvation. That makes it impossible to lose our salvation. You just couldn't do it. Colossians chapter 2 tells us that when we got saved, we had an operation not made with hands. An operation not made with hands. It compared it to that Old Testament circumcision thing that made them one of God's chosen in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, we have an operation not made with hands. It's something that happens on the inside the day we get saved. God performs an operation inside of us when we trust Him as Savior. We can't reverse that operation. We can't get unoperated on. We can't get out of Christ. We can't get unborn again. We can't get unchildren of God. We're safe and secure in Jesus Christ. And thank God for that. Because if it was up to you and I to keep ourselves saved, we would be a miserable lot. But it's not by our power. It's by His. What can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ? Nothing. Nothing. Neither life nor death nor principalities nor powers nor nothing can separate us. Thank God we're saved and saved eternally. Let's stand together this evening with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Brother Matthews, if you'll come up and pick a song for us to sing at invitation time. Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You for the truth of it and the reality.